This is Mind for Survival with your host, Brian Duff.
Hey everyone, I'm Brian Duff, and welcome to another episode here on the Mind for Survival. As always, I am so stoked that you're here, and I am especially stoked that you are the personally responsible people who lean into preparedness, lean into being part of the solution rather than part of the problem. That's what preparedness is all about. So thank you for that. And in today's episode, I am taking a dive into the mindset we should have in preparing for a major disaster, preparing for it to hit the fan. Because when it hits the fan, typically, no matter how prepared you are, you're going to feel like the underdog. You're going to feel like the disaster is winning. At some point, that's how pretty much everybody feels. And that disaster, that can happen even in times when it's maybe it's a minor emergency going on and you just feel like, heck, this thing is kicking my butt here a little bit. And I'm going to talk about that, how to get your mind out of that and how to focus on getting on top of the problem. And that's super important because if your mindset's not right when it comes to dealing with problems, dealing with the things that we have in life, it's going to make it that much more difficult for us to come out on top of everything. And with that, everybody, before we get into this episode, if you haven't hit the subscribe button already and subscribe to the Mind for Survival podcast, please make sure that you do. It helps the podcast, helps you. You get the notifications, all that good stuff that new episodes are coming out. So with that, everybody, let's go ahead and get into this episode, episode 235 of the Mind for Survival podcast. So let's talk about SHTF mindset and how to think what it's going to be like when everything fails, when it really hits the fan, because there's different types of people in the world. And normalcy bias tells us that there are people who don't think about preparedness because they don't think anything bad will ever happen to them. That's their normalcy bias. Now, if we remember that all biases, just like our emotional mindset, like our fight, flight, or freeze, happen in degrees to where they completely overwhelm our rational brain to maybe it's just a minor influence on it. So when it comes to normalcy bias, there are those people, like I just mentioned, who think nothing bad will befall them. And there are also people who say, yeah, I get it that bad things will happen out there, but I don't think that it'll like really affect me that much. Like I'll be okay and get through everything just fine. So they're not completely bought in to like the other normalcy bias people, but at the same time, they still have some level of normalcy bias coming on. But the truth is that no matter how prepared you are, there are disasters out there, the potential for disasters, that will, at least in their early moments, overwhelm you. Right? I think back to an earthquake, like a personal experience of mine. When the earthquake hits, it doesn't matter how well prepared you are at the beginning. Like, you're left up to the whim of the earthquake. Right? If your house falls in on you, well, all the preps didn't really matter that day, right? Maybe one of the preps is reinforcing or earthquake proofing your house. I'm sure that stuff's out there. And I know we did that somewhat. My dad did a bunch of stuff like that when I was growing up. But when that earthquake hit, initially it's like, oh, because it feels like your house in a big earthquake, it feels like it's getting hit by a runaway semi truck. And so you have that, you know, that shock and awe moment that happens. It's like, think about it as if all of a sudden it's in the middle of the night and someone is banging on your door that there's a wildfire and you need to run. And depending on how prepared you are and ready you are, well, that might go on for a while where, man, it just seems like the disaster has the upper hand. So sometimes a situation is so severe that no matter how prepared you are, you may, in the moment, feel like you're the underdog again in an upward, you know, uphill battle. Now, why am I talking about this? So you can get it in your mindset that if something, some crazy disaster happens, and all of a sudden you're like, man, this feels, I had hoped to feel a lot better at this point in this disaster, and you're struggling through it, whatever that is. remember back to this conversation, remember back to this podcast and say, hey, oh, I'm supposed to feel like that. This was a big event. I'm supposed to feel somewhat overwhelmed. Because the cool thing is once you figure out that, hey, when you feel like you're that one-armed wallpaper hanger and you recognize it, that means you're getting a leg up on the situation. So when I talk mindset, situational awareness and all that, that's what I'm talking about here with this, right? This is a mindset and perspective of fine-tuning, wake-up call. This is how, when I say do the what-ifing, yeah, we can what-if a hurricane comes. We can what-if this comes. But this is where you can make or break it. You know what the beauty about this mindset stuff and this situational awareness stuff, like thinking through stuff like this, is that it's free. And you can do it when you don't have anything going on. So what's our two biggest constraints when it comes to preparedness? Oh, I don't have enough time and I don't have enough money. That's typically one of those two are probably about 75% of why people don't prepare. So the beauty about working on your mindset and situational awareness is it doesn't cost you anything and you do it whenever you get the free time. And the great thing about this is this practice, when the lights go out, or the system fails, or society maybe has a little hiccup or two or three, you don't get a redo on that. Once that happens, well, you're making the best out of it at that point. That's why we prepare on the front side. But when that happens, if there's an issue, if you're struggling to deal with what's happening, or someone you know is struggling, it's this kind of thought process that helps get you out of it, right? A lot of this, when it comes to preparedness, is you get what you've earned ahead of time. You put in the work on the front end, it pays off. And when it gets to mindset, let's get it down a couple levels. Thinking about, oh, what must that be like in the moment? Okay, well, what does that feel like? Now you can recognize it. So let's start with, what if I told you that when the next major disaster strikes, just like I've been talking about right now, you'll most likely be behind and not ahead. No matter how prepped you feel now, when you're at the epicenter of a serious crisis, you're going to be scrambling, maybe physically, maybe mentally, maybe like, oh, all this stuff I had ready to go for this, it's not really helping me in the moment. Yeah, I got food and yeah, I have this. But man, I have a lot that I'm navigating in the here and now. When that happens, you'll most likely feel that you're completely behind the power curve and struggling to get ahead of the situation. We don't control the clock. And you don't get to pick the train. In other words, when it comes to disasters, yeah, we might be getting better over time at predicting them. And we're not there yet. If you get a warning on an earthquake, it's not much of a warning. Yeah, we might see hurricanes coming several days out, but man, how many times a hurricane's plastered us and we've seen them coming. The systems, as we see in Hurricane Helene, Maui, even out in Los Angeles, they're trying to rebuild in the permitting process. People are talking about like, hey, how long is this thing going to take, right? To try to get a shot at rebuilding your house if you can. So the systems you thought you could count on, nothing is guaranteed when the worst happens. Like none of that. Minor emergencies, sure. You might be able to muscle through those with instinct and grit. You know, if you have instinct and grit, and most preppers, I'd say they do on some level, you're often good to go on minor emergencies. That's what, we talk about that. You think about the minor emergencies a lot. That's what we do. And by minor emergencies, it might be a fairly major thing, but not like it's this thing that's like, hey, this huge, it's not the 8.5 earthquake waking you up in the morning kind of thing, right? It's not the wildfires. It's not Hurricane Helene just going nuts. These are major societal and system shaking events that I'm talking about here. Those major disasters, they hit with more force than you expect. And when they do, they expose the unseen cracks in the foundation, literally the foundation of our homes and the foundation of our preparedness, right? The foundation of our thought process, the foundation of society. When the big ones hit, I mean, I think back to how many people I've spoken with that got into preparedness because of Hurricane Katrina, right? They saw it like, oh my gosh, like how is this happening to people? And then it's been rinse and repeat over that. And when that happens, it's you. You're scrambling, reacting, playing catch up. That's all you can, sometimes that's the best you can hope for, right? And that's the uncomfortable truth of all this preparedness stuff. And it's exactly why preparedness can't be passive. It's why mindset matters and situational awareness matters. And it's why if you want to come out the other side, you need to train like the fight for survival in a disaster, in a major disaster. It's literally a fight for your survival, especially early on. And survival can be relative. It's a fight that, hey, I don't want to cut my feet up and during an earthquake if stuff falls off the wall. So my initial preparedness is when an earthquake happened, I want to get out of the house as fast as possible. I didn't want to have to lace up shoes. Like, I'll figure that one out. So I had flip-flops that I could get in, so that way at least I wouldn't hopefully be getting any glass in my feet. And usually by the time you get the flip-flops on, the first aftershock is hitting either at the doorway of my bedroom or the hallway down the hall. And it takes me maybe two aftershocks to get out of the house when I was growing up on the bigger earthquakes. So during those aftershocks, when it's rocking and rolling, yeah, man, it's, hey, let me be aware. Let me like not get totally sucked into everything. Let me see. So make sure I'm not running through some broken down glass, right? Let me see what's going on around me. Let me make sure when I run outside that I'm not running out into a power pole that's down or power lines that are down. Keep your head about you, right? And again, it's why if you want to come out the other side on some disaster, you need to train like the fight has already started and you're behind on points, like I said a minute ago. Because that's likely how it's going to go. Now, if that's not how it goes, oh man, good day, right? Luck broke your way. And once you realize you're always the underdog when it really hits the fan, because if you're not the underdog, is it really hitting the fan for you? Kind of, you know, it might be, but you know, there's a range of things. So when you realize that, when we settle on that, then we kind of prep for that. Like, all right, this is going to be, I've never ridden a bull, but I can't imagine it, like what it would be like to jump on a bull and come out of that gate. That's like riding a disaster. Like that's a train wreck waiting to happen. Like none of those bull riders, if they do it very long, come out of there unscathed without some really, you know, some really tough injuries. So when it hits the fan, the playing field is never even. And let's break it down. When it hits the fan, right, you don't always get a warning. Even when you do, it's usually not enough. Disasters rarely show up with a countdown timer. I remember when Mount St. Helens blew up. That was like the countdown every day. It was like, oh, it's a Mount St. Helens blowing up, right? Here it goes. And with every disaster, you're going to start out at a disadvantage when it's a serious SHTF event. The lights go out, the water stops flowing, emergency services get overwhelmed. Many people, you know, they start struggling, having a rough time, they panic. Like, what do we talk about? The grocery stores being overwhelmed. That's why we prepare to stay in our homes and to try to fortify our homes as much as possible, right? The threats and hazards that come with a disaster, because who knows, they're kind of unpredictable. It's people that you're interacting with, right? And people get unpredictable, and nature can be unpredictable when the world starts falling apart around you. Again, it could be all kinds of things. I mean, think about this summer, what we're heading into, right? We've talked about, hey, is there the potential for civil unrest? Is there the potential for terrorism? There's all kinds of things that are potential out there. We still have to live our lives. We can't walk around in a doom and gloom. But we can get our mind around it. Hey, if while I'm out, something happens, here's my response. We can start getting ahead of that. So that way you're not as overwhelmed in that moment. You know, this isn't Hollywood. In the real world, when the mess is big enough, cavalry's not coming. Look at the people of Hurricane Helene in North Carolina. They were their own cavalry. They're on their own. They're still... You know, Stephanie Johnson out there. I was just wearing her shirt the other day for Rebuilding Haulers, I believe is the name of it. And I'll put it down here in the video, the link. They're still going at it, trying to help people out, right? So in that case, again, you're the cavalry. And when you're the cavalry, most of us were under-resourced. And that's one of our hangups is on our resources, right? We're under-resourced. And let's face it, hey, some of you are into preparedness, but you're not all in on the whole prepper world, like diving into it. But for those of us that are in that, when is enough enough? Yeah. As long as I have room, enough is never enough. It's my thought process. So, and that's the nature of a real crisis, especially when it hits the fan and the situation overwhelms your basic systems. It overwhelms your basic instincts if you haven't been through it, all that. And so, because when people accept that disasters don't fight fairly, they start stacking the odds back in their favor, right? And I know you think that now, but it's when it happens in the moment. And you find yourself, again, I'm going to keep repeating this, you find yourself overwhelmed in that moment, that's when your lunch money it earns itself. Because that's when you go, oh, I'm supposed to feel this way. And because I feel this way, I know right where I'm at. I know how to get out of this. Because mindset's the first advantage. And if you've read Mind for Survival, if you've been around, right, you already know the formula, capability times luck equals your chances of success. And capability, what is that? It's your mindset and your ability. And ability is knowledge, skill, and resources. In every emergency, mindset is what determines whether you freeze, what you fall apart, whether you fight on to the Ranger objective, as we used to say in Ranger Regiment. It's whether you deal with it, because it's probably not going to be scripted when something major happens. That's why the most important prep isn't the gear in your closet, right? That's part of it. But it's the perspective in your head. It's perspective in your head that when one of your pieces of gear doesn't work properly, or you don't have the right piece of gear, or whatever that is, it's the perspective in your head that does the critical thinking to figure out around that problem. That's why mindset's most important. A solid mindset keeps you from wasting time in the thought process. It lets you act fast and with purpose, while others, you know, that are not like you, sometimes they're stuck in that. They get stuck in their loop and they can't get out of it. That's why when we talk about this, if you find yourself stuck in a loop, go, hey, I'm stuck in a loop. You'll get the opportunity to. Well, I hope you never get the opportunity to, but if you do. Oh, hey, I'm stuck in a loop. Like, I'm not making a decision here. Boom. It's these things that let you go back and think about to pull yourself out. It grounds you when the world starts spinning. Most people, a lot of people in our world, not in our community, but in our world, they assume someone else is going to fix it. They assume that cavalry's coming. They have normalcy bias, and they don't like to think about, you know, the major what ifs. They don't like to drill down like you're doing right now by listening to me. If you're listening by this far in, you're into mindset. You're into situational awareness. You're like, oh, I need to take it a little bit deeper on what I think about and how I look at it to recognize what's happening when I'm in it. That's because you're not most people, right? Only the minority of people out there prepare. And you all already know that preparedness is uniquely personal. It's a responsibility that is individual. And we all have our own needs. We all have our own, if you've read the book, risk profile. If you can own that mindset, even while you're standing in the middle of a mess, you've already won half the battle, right? Think about situational awareness, because mindset, what is that? The foundation of the survival pyramid. Think about situational awareness for a minute. What is situational awareness? You're observing the world, right? So it's how you avoid being blindsided. It's how you see the problem or the opportunity, maybe the opportunity to do something better, or the opportunity to avoid the problem or to mitigate the problem. You get a head start because you're situationally aware. If mindset is your internal compass, then situational awareness is your radar. It lets you detect trouble early and interpret what's really going on and make the decisions that keep you from becoming another victim. Like, it empowers you to not go down that road. It empowers you to say, hey, you know what? This is a disaster and I'm going to surf it. Like, there's going to be highs and lows, but I'm going to come out on the other end of this thing. This is where the OODA loop comes in. If you guys were at Mountain Readiness, you know, you sat in on my mind, on my situational awareness lecture. If not, it's going to be coming out here pretty soon. The OODA loop: observe, orient, decide, and act. It's just not a military framework. The UDOOP applies across all aspects of life. It's just not security, preparedness, that kind of stuff. It's useful in business. It's everything. It's about self-reliance. It's about our situational awareness. So observe and orient our situational awareness, right? What do? Under observe, we take in what's happening. The weather, someone's behavior, the traffic, the system's failing, the system's holding, things doing well. What's the tone and tenor of the people out in the street? What's the vibe? What's the underlying current? What's happening around me? What's changing the baseline? Then there's orient, right? We take that information, we observe, and we filter that through your experience, through your biases, through everything that makes you you right now. It goes through all that, and then we get our output of, hey, this is my perspective. And that's where we could really make our money, by saying, hey, how do I challenge my perspective? Now, you don't necessarily want to challenge your perspective in the moment, but hopefully leading up to that, doing what you're doing right now, listening to this podcast, thinking about this stuff, you're challenging your perspective now. So when that moment happens, man, you've already gone through all these numbers. It's bing, bing, bing. I did all this. Here's my answer. Here's the way I need to go right now. Because once you get a good information output that shapes your perspective in the orient phase, then you move on to the decision-making phase of the OODA loop, right? Decide and act. When you go to decide something, you choose your move. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe now. Maybe take a tactical pause. What's the course of action? In the heat of the moment, maybe the course of action is, hey, I need to get to my flip-flops on and get to my doorway. Now I need to get to the hallway entrance. Then I need to get to the front door entrance, and then I need to get outside and make sure there's nothing falling down on me. That's the decision-making process. Then the actions are actually following through on that, right? And what do we do as the situation develops? Oh, hey, a vase just fell out in the living room. Well, there's broken pottery all over the ground. Let me go out through the kitchen, right? What does all this do? Situational awareness allows us to act on the fly, make effective decisions. The people who make it out of disasters, they're not always the strongest. They're not always the best equipped, sometimes far from it. But usually the people that make it out okay, the people that say, hey, I got this, they're the ones who were ahead of the game because in their mind, they dealt with the problem multiple times from different angles. Hey, what happens if I'm not home when the earthquake happens and my kids are home? That kind of thing. What does that mean? Oh, there's power lines down between me and getting home. What do I have the kids do? What's their response? If you wait to understand until it's already happening, if you wait to think it through when it comes to situational awareness and mindset, then you're reacting in the moment. Right now, you are anticipating, but it's not like you're fixated on it. It's just, again, when you have the time and space to think about it. Hey, if this happens, what would I do? And then when you come up with solutions to that, then start trying to act on those. You know, maybe it's working on a vehicle kit. If we have to leave our home, I better have some stuff in here. Whatever that is. Situational awareness isn't about paranoia. It's about perspective. It's about being ready to act, not just relying on luck, not just relying on hope. Now, shifting back to mindset a little bit, our ability, right, gives you options. And mindset without skill, it's just noise. Confidence with no follow through. Yeah, mindset's great, but you need to be able to implement this stuff as much as possible for your situation. If mindset is how you see and think about the problem, ability is how you physically deal with it. Ability isn't about being a superhuman operator. It's about practical readiness for your situation, built from real world strengths and weaknesses. You have a paradigm about you. We all do. Each of us has our own unique individual condition that affects how we prepare. If you're banged up or you have different things happen in your life that affects your physical or mental abilities to do things, well, that's just your situation. And then that's why we prepare. We prepare to make the most out of what we have. And so when it comes to your ability, right, we start with knowledge, the information you've studied, practiced, and retained. This could mean understanding first aid, fire safety, communications, home security, or how to handle shortages. Not just facts, but knowing how and when to use them. That's knowledge. Experience, having worked through challenges before, whether in training, drills, life, you've been through the university of life, of hard knocks, or this and that. Experience builds judgment. It builds wisdom. It gives you muscle memory and mental familiarity when everything is moving fast. So you don't necessarily even have to have gone through something. If you thought it, that helps give you experience. Now, be willing to question how you thought about it. Hey, this is what I thought about it last time. Well, let me think about it from a different way. Maybe you stumble onto something and go, oh, that's a better way to think about something. And then last on ability is resources, the tools, supplies, and relationships, right? The community relationships you put in place before the crisis hits, hopefully, that you do now. From backup power, local contacts, maybe you know there's a nurse on the street if something happens and you need to ask a medical question. Look around, reach out, find options, do it safely. And then maybe when others need some help, you'll be there for them and make it a little bit community. The people who succeed when it hits the fan aren't the ones who had everything necessarily. That would be ideal. They're the ones who had enough of the right things and knew what to do with them, right? They could figure it out. They're critical thinkers. Man, sometimes it seems like there's not a lot of critical thinking that goes on these days. And critical thinking, the best way to do it, one of the best ways to do it, is start with critical thinking yourself. Check yourself and see what you do. Again, you don't need perfection. You just need readiness. That's the only kind of an edge an underdog ever needs, right? And it's what you get because you've earned it by going through and doing it, right? Remember, though, luck still plays a role, but don't count on it, because sometimes things, they will go sideways. And so you can have the right plan, take the right steps, and still face something unexpected. A breakdown, a sudden medical emergency, a fast-moving event. And when that happens, when it gets ahead of you, that's not failure, that's life. It's just what happens. We do the best. And it's exactly, again, why we prepare. Luck, good or bad, is the part of the equation that you can't control. But the more you sharpen your mindset and ability, right, the more you improve that, the more you reduce your exposure to bad outcomes, the more you outweigh the potential for bad luck and increases your chances of adapting, of overcoming when opportunity or when a crisis shows up. Preparedness doesn't make you invincible, rather improves your chances of seeming invincible to others because you've done stuff. You've taken that lead. And when you're the underdog, that's everything too. The bottom line is, again, preparedness isn't about being fearless. It's not about being perfect or in control. We can strive for all that. It's about knowing the odds are stacked against you and building the mindset, awareness, and readiness to move forward anyway. Hey, man, it's an uphill battle. You might not start from a position of strength when it hits the fan, but you don't necessarily need to. It's ideal. It'd be great, but you don't need to because you're prepared. You just need to be capable mentally, right? Think about it. You need to be as physically capable for your situation as possible so you know what you're dealing with. You know how long things take you to do, what you're capable of not, and how to handle it logistically. If you trained your mindset and sharpened your awareness and built your ability, you'll be better prepared to forego luck. You'll be ready and for a positive and effective action when it's needed. And when it all goes wrong, don't expect to do nothing and rise to the occasion. That's not how it works. You know that. That's why you're here. We know that's how people with normalcy bias think. No, it's what we're doing right now. You prepare to meet it head on. That's why we're into preparedness. That's why we're into self-reliance. That's why we do all of this. And there you have it, everybody. Episode 235 of the Mind for Survival podcast. I hope you found it entertaining. I hope you found it helpful and informative. And if you did find all of that, please make sure you hit that subscribe button. And if you have anybody in your Facebook groups, wherever, that listen to podcasts and could benefit from this information, please share this with them so that way we can get the word out and we can help get people more prepared. Because at the end of the day, as I talked about in the show, mindset and situational awareness cost you nothing other than an investment of your time. When you're doing otherwise nothing, it doesn't take money. All it takes is thought. So with that, everybody, as always, stay safe, secure, and prepared. And never forget, you are just one prep away from being better prepared. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Mind for Survival podcast at www.mindforsurvival.com. That's www.mind4survival.com.